Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host from Phoenix, Arizona, Dakota Morgan, and I have a very special guest with me today. He has come all the way from Gotham. He's done a whole bunch of things, and he's an epic fan, just like the rest of us here. And that is... That's your cue.
Oh.
No, okay. I'm kidding.
I'm writer, costumer, and... Flashpoint Gotham, a new alternate universe series that's coming out pretty soon on YouTube.
Yeah, now Gavin, I gotta say, brilliant idea to bring this thing to life. I don't know if anyone else has done it before. That's brilliant. Flashpoint Gotham.
That was kind of the idea behind it. I was working on a project with a couple friends of mine, and the cinematographer comes to us and says she wanted to do a Joker story.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, okay, we'll come up with something. And we don't want to do something typical, you know. So we came up with Flashpoint because it's a really dark version of Batman. And this was before the Punisher TV series came out. And, you know, we were kind of aiming for that kind of feel.
Okay.
Yeah, and there wasn't a lot of media on it. You know, it had the animated movie and the original comic, but that was really it.
That's it. Yeah, and I think it deserves more. I for sure love Flashpoint. The books, the animated movie, the somewhat thing that they did on Flash, and you guys are taking it to Gotham, which Batman is full. That's just rich of stories that you could easily pull off. And you wanted the darkness. You want a dark Batman, Thomas Wayne Batman, who uses guns, and I believe he murders people too.
So
it's like it's one of those of, you can easily, like, if you want to, what happens if you combine Batman and Punisher? That's Flashpoint Batman.
Yeah, and I was reading a lot of Earth 2 at the time, and spoilers for anyone who hasn't read anything.
New 52?
Yeah.
I love that series. Oh, with the passion.
Yeah, and we were actually kind of playing around with the idea, kind of combining Batman's early origins with the Earth 2 Thomas Wayne's Batman and doing the Hour Man of that Earth, having previously worked with Rex Tyler and other members of the JSA. So he's going to have the Hour Man film in our series too, is going to be a lot of fun.
You're going to have Hour Man in your series?
Well, we're going to have Wildcat, Black Canary, and the Al Pratt version of the Atom, but Batman is going to be the Hour Man of this universe, as well as the Earth 2 one, which is kind of... When people see the costume, they'll know a couple references right off the bat.
Yes. Right now you can't see it, but I'm smiling my ass off because that is an amazing team. First off, I love Wildcat, and he deserves so much more in media than people give him credit to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was the mask. The mask was the hardest damn thing with him. Like, he's so easy to write because he's a very straightforward kind of character, I think. But, the mask, we don't, like, in Arrow, it was just a leather, you know, a leather dominant mask, you know? It wasn't anything cat-like at all.
No. And I don't even know what happened to him in Arrow. He just kind of got written out and whatnot. And I'm like, what, why? I like Wildcat.
Damian Dark killed him.
They did? Oh, he actually did die?
Oh, yeah, spoilers. Damian Dark did kill him in their big battle.
Right.
And it was such a wimpy death, too.
It was. Like, maybe it's because I didn't try to accept it. That's why. Like, I'm trying to think, like, he deserves so much better. So my mind is like, wait a minute. He didn't die.
Yeah. No, he's gone, man. I'm sorry to have to be the one to tell you.
Damn it. No, I'm caught up on Arrow. It's just I forgot about it. And it's one of those of, like, you just... That's amazing, though, that you guys are bringing Wildcat. You got Black Canary, and then you said you have the Atom, too?
Yeah, the Al Pratt version of Atom, which this version doesn't really have superpowers yet. I mean, like, he is slightly stronger than the average dude, and the Black Canary we're bringing in is Dinah Drake, the mother Black Canary. I can't remember her name offhand right now, but we have her written as Dinah Drake.
Ooh, that's amazing. Now, there's so many ways you can take this, man. But for me, for information for me, and then also the listeners, what is the sort of premise that you're going to do? What is the storyline you want to roll with for Flashpoint Gotham?
Okay, so without giving too much away.
Yeah.
So essentially, Batman, we're taking a couple liberties, like I said, with the Hourman thing. You know, that's not really generally the canon version. But for the most part, fans know how Batman came to be. They know he went out and searched the world to find different masters and all that. The only real difference for Thomas is that he also remained a big, prominent figure in Gotham during the time. Or at least in our version, that's what we're thinking. So, like, he would go and he would leave for 6 months or a year, and he would train with guys like Wildcat, because, you know, Wildcat trained everyone.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be real cool to do it that way, but, and then, you know, he's still doing his things. He's trying to weed out problems in the police and in his own company. But again, from the Earth 2 universe, we're kind of pulling some mob ties that he had with different family members.
Oh, yeah. There's so much you can do with it. It's insanity.
And we're having a lot of fun coming up with ideas, because there's so many things that, like, honestly, since there's no real material for a lot of the characters, if there's something we want to try, we're like, well, it's an alternate reality, and no one said it hasn't happened.
That's the beauty of the multiverse. You can do whatever the hell you want. You really can. And it's a beautiful thing what you guys are doing, bringing this to life and bringing all this back into the limelight, because everyone tends to forget about these epic stories and whatnot for some unknown reason. So being able to see it brought to life in Flashpoint Gotham. Now, is it a movie or is it an episodic series, or what are we looking at here?
So it's 8 episodes, the first season.
Oh, sure.
And we've got ideas up to season 3.
Holy hell. Is it a new season? Okay, so is it only going to be... If, without spoiling, do you want to keep it in Gotham only, or are you thinking about branching out?
Well, so, obviously things are going to connect. You know, we're going to reference things like Metropolis being destroyed.
Yeah.
And they're rebuilding it. And I've toyed around with the idea of having things like Cyborg show up, because in the animated movie and in the comic itself, he kind of... I mean, Batman's super cocky anyways, but he kind of feels like he knows Cyborg already.
Yeah. That is a good point. That is a very good point. That they does seem like there's been something going on. And you.
Yeah, like, they worked together before, and, you know, Cyborg already knows that Batman's a pain in the ass, and Batman already knows that Cyborg's a pain in the ass.
That's true. And you have, like, you could even, if you wish... You can even have, like, I mean, Citizen Cold. You got that. You got all this different stuff you can do.
Yeah, that was actually one of the ideas I was fiddling around with for this season, because the Joker has a couple people that join her side, and, you know, she has an actual team. That's why we brought in Wildcat and Black Canary and Adam. But, he was one of the first people thinking of, but I think he's a little too young right in the timeline we're at.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like 15 or 6, or like he could be as old as 18, but you know, I don't want to put his origins that early.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. Well, if you need someone in season 3, I'm available.
Wow. Well, if you can get out of Washington to film with pretty much anyone, but, you know, I can talk to you on the side about some of the story details.
Ooh, I like it. Now, that is a good point. So with Citizen Cold, so this is taking a place a few years ahead of time. But we kind of glazed over it a little bit. Joker's in it, but it's a female because it's Martha. And you guys are incorporating that, which you kind of have to. But that's going to be an epic story to tell, because fans, go, especially myself, we go nuts over that shit. Of that like, Thomas is Batman, Martha's Joker. Let that sink in for a minute. You're like, holy shit.
And she's, honestly, that's why we kind of glazed over Batman's origin, because, like, we're familiar with it, but with the Joker, with this particular version, we can play with it a little bit, because, like, for anyone who's lost a son out there, I don't personally know this, but, like, you know, I've known people who've lost family members, and, like, they survive. They don't, like, you know, they don't lose their mind and go on a murder spree.
Yeah.
And so we had to think, like, something else happened to her, something else was going on. And, you know, certain doctors, Arkham Asylum, try specific versions of medicine, to try to bring her out of her depression and confront some of her fears. So she's gonna be dealing with those characters. We've got the Scarecrow in there. We've got Jonathan Crane, also played by both great actors. Our Jonathan Crane actor is actually gonna be our Black Mask as well, because they don't interact, and Black Mask is gonna be a villain later on. The Joker origin is gonna be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, and it's not explored, so it's one of the other beautiful parts about this series, which I'm gonna watch the hell out of it and recommend it to everybody that's a fan of DC, because this is the stuff we love actually getting explored, because we know they're not gonna touch it anymore. If they do, I'll be surprised if that live action Flashpoint movie ever gets made. So other than that, we're never gonna see it. And so you guys are doing the greatest work possible of saying, you know what, we may never see it, so we're gonna bring it to you. And that's beautiful, I want to say. Like, and fans are definitely going to appreciate it, because fan series like this do very well. Did you ever watch the Nightwing one that came out a couple years ago?
Yeah, I did, by Ismahawk.
Yes.
Those guys are crazy. And honestly, like, when I first started costuming, I watched a lot of those videos, and I was like, I got to start making movies if these costumes ever get any good.
That's it. Oh, that's it. You know, and it's ridiculous. There's one other one. It didn't get as much credit due to it. Nightwing, Nightwing came on DVD, if you remembered right, too.
Did it?
Yeah, it came on DVD. Limited release.
Shit.
Yeah, it's a fancy.
I gotta get a copy.
Oh my god, it's gotta be expensive as hell by now. I mean, if you go to their website, maybe you can buy one, but I know some stores were selling it. Maybe it was a local to their area, but I heard across the U.S., And I've seen it, like, oh my god.
Yeah, I've got a couple friends in the local film media here, and, like, they've had DVD releases, so I can't imagine it'd be too crazy to do.
Yeah, but with a fan film, though, you gotta think about that one. And it's DC and Warner Brothers fan film, so they're like, no.
Well, from what I understand, I think if you, like, market it the right way or something, like, so long as you aren't making money off of their characters, like if Flashpoint Gotham, for instance, we'd make money off of things like YouTube subscribers or my costume specific or something like that, but it wouldn't be, you know, us making money off DC properties, if I understand correctly.
That, I think that's right. As long as you don't make money, you're good. I think that's how I got a Jurassic Park fan cartoon in the works, we did all the legality work and whatnot, and as long as we're not making money, we're okay. So we're fine. You can't make money, which sucks, but...
I don't know if you're a big Star Wars fan, but there's a YouTube series or YouTube channel called Star Wars Theory, and they're doing a Vader fan film, and they actually got approached by Disney.
What?
Or he approached Disney, one of the two, but they've talked, and like he got okayed by Lucasfilm after they read the script.
What the hell?
Yeah, I'm not so cocky that, like, Flashpoint is gonna get that same material, but
you never know.
If we could get anywhere close to that, that'd be incredible.
That's true. I mean, I started in this a couple months ago. I think about a month ago, for the Star Wars Fan Awards. I started in this fan film as a Rebel soldier, and there's no way in hell this is gonna contact us about that. I love everybody to death. But we may, like, contact like they did. We may win a competition. Actually, we will win. But you never know. Warner Brothers could hit you up. Hopefully, it's not a cease and desist. But they could hit you up. You never know what can happen from them, man. Like, the fandom can get huge on it. Like, Nightwing. That's a perfect example. There was, what was it? There was one that came out that didn't get as much. I watched it and didn't get as much traction as it should have, because I think it deserved a lot more fandom love, was a Reverse Flash Origins movie.
You know, it's funny you would bring that up. I actually know the people who did that. We hung a couple of times. Yeah, no, when I was living in California, guy named I don't know if that's actually his name, but it's Elvin Zuleta. I think he's actually in the hospital this week, but
oh, dear God. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, he was super cool dude. When I was first talking to them, they were actually doing a Nightwing series, but I think they switched to Reverse Flash at some point because from what I understand, they met the actor and they were like, this is awesome, you're an awesome actor, and they were writing it. Yeah, and it's like, they had their own convention, Nerdbot convention,
mm-hmm.
out in California. I haven't actually had the chance to go, but yeah, a bunch of cool people.
Wow, best of luck to him in the hospital. I hope he gets better, because deserves to go out there and make more stuff. I mean, come on. It was beautiful. So, folks, if you haven't seen... Well, I can't remember the name of the... what was the title of it, though?
Oh, wait. This isn't Reverse Flash Origins, is it? The episodic thing?
Yeah.
No, it was just Reverse Flash Origins. There is heavy CW overtones. Like, there is, you know, the... A lot of the costumes are pretty much the same as that those series, and like Vandal Savage makes an appearance.
Yeah,
but it's good stuff. Like their effects are pretty good, and the actors they got are pretty good too.
That's it. So, you know, it's great that you know them too, and you can get some advice from them too, and see what you guys can collaborate. And be like, hey, here's this, here's that, and you never know, maybe you guys can get them to star in your thing. I mean, Flashpoint Gotham, come on.
Yeah, well, I've got a bunch of ideas for other series I want to do. My girlfriend and I were talking about a rom-com version of a Green Arrow and Black Canary thing.
That's the show we deserve.
A live-action adaptation.
Ooh.
Because, like, I love Forever Evil. Forever Evil blew my freaking mind when I read it.
I am so happy to hear that, because me fucking too. When it came out... Oh my god, I was just hooked. Every week I was like, alright, what's Forever Evil? And they're like, here's not the Forever Evil series, here's all the tie-ins, here's all the storylines connected to all the series, and I bought them all of them. There's...
Yeah, I only saw the, at first I only saw the animated covers, you know, the holographic ones, and I've got Lex Luthor, I've got Zod, I've got the Joker, yes. and the Riddler, and a couple others, but, and I didn't know that it was all part of leading up to Forever Evil at the time. You know, I was like, these are my villains. These are awesome.
Yeah.
And like, God was a crazy motherfucker. But, and then I found the book. And it just, like, Captain Cold breaking Johnny Quick's leg like that. It's just, it's nuts from beginning to end.
Oh my God, all of it. Like, Central City being destroyed, all the villains being, they're like, you know all the villains that you love? Because I'm a villain guy. They said, you know all the villains that you love? They're all broken out, and they're taking over, and there's the evil crime syndicate, and it's like, holy hell, and the art's good, and the story's beautiful, like...
Yeah, it's and like, on. Even just the little stuff, like, when Batman tries to get super ballsy with Lex Luthor, he's like, we're gonna do it my way.
Yeah.
And Catwoman's like, this isn't the time.
Yeah, because, oh my god, and it's like, Forever Evil deserves to be an animated movie. Deserves.
Well, I want to try to do it live action, because I think after the first three seasons of Flashpoint, and then a couple other series I'm working on with groups like Martian Productions, a couple independent series we're working on, but after that, I want to try to, you know, get our subscribers up, get, you know, some crowdfunding going, and do a full live-action Forever Evil. And it'd probably be a couple episodes, and I would try to do it as best as I could as a live-action version of, like, all the other DC animated stuff, because that stuff's great. Like, the current stuff, I don't know if you've seen The Death of Superman.
Oh, yes.
Or, yeah, that, where they took the story and they altered it a little bit because they wanted to showcase the characters, like... That would essentially what I'd try to be doing, you know, follow it and then just have little bits where it references one point or another or one character or another that it didn't exactly do it in the comic or, you know, little stuff.
Damn. All right, you know what? I'm 100% backing. I work in the film industry here in Arizona and somewhat LA and stuff like that. I will bring everything I have to make sure Forever Evil is, like, I will bring everything to you. Because I will 100% want to be in that production no matter what. I'd be like, where are you going? I'm taking a month absence, going to Washington. Don't ask questions.
because the sooner, like I said, it's going to be a straight adaptation. So the script is would just need to be transcribed and the costumes would need to be done. And it wouldn't take too long because a lot of the stuff, if we do editing right, we won't have to find a lot of the locations. And some of the locations I have now for Flashpoint, we'd be able to use again and again.
Yeah.
It'd be really no problem.
Not bad, man.
I'm trying to look at deeper filming techniques. Not saying that I'm skimping out on the things we do, but like, I've been looking at things they did for like Star Wars, doing a lot of miniatures and matte paintings.
Okay.
That was one of my original ideas for the Batmobile in the Flashpoint series.
You have the Batmobile in it?
Well, we're going to have it in season 2 now.
Oh, okay.
It's coming. I was going to do a miniature, which would have been fine, but then I realized one of my actors for a character that's super not well known, but she's important in the series, is Alice Sinner. But so she's going to make an appearance, but that actor, she's working on learning how to do full graphic design, like full world building for video games. Like, that's what she's going to school for right now.
Ooh.
And so she's helping me develop the bat swarms, you know, because you can't have a Batman series without a swarm of bats showing up somewhere.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, especially Thomas Wayne, he's definitely going to use it.
Oh, yeah. And I will say, for fans of the original version of Batman, there are going to be things that we do that are pretty similar to the Bruce Wayne Batman, but really, because it's an alternate reality, and because a lot of these series, when they do these alternate realities anyway, they kind of mimic the original version, and that's, you're going to see a lot of that. Like, there's some Earth, or there's some Year One references. Actually, we just shot our biggest Year One reference. And then, like, the mob dinner. You know, it's one of my favorite scenes. I think Thomas would do it as well. But really more of a middle finger to them. Like, I can touch you anytime I want, and the only reason you're alive right now is because I want you to be.
Facebook?
We posted some pictures of the shoot. We are going to have to go back because, I'll be honest, some of our sound just did not happen the way we wanted it to.
Oh, the Achilles heel, man, of film is sound. Every single time, sound. I've worked in film for a while, but I'm in
a
production.
I got a little cocky.
Huh? What now?
I got a little cocky. I worked on one project one time, and that's how they recorded their audio. We just used microphones on an iPod, but that's how the last film did it, and it turned out fine for them. So I was like, oh, I could just do that, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, it didn't work out that way.
Sound can be as good as like that.
No.
Oh, yeah, it's sound. It's always been a problem on every film set I've been on. It's crazy, but that is it. I like that way though of trying to do it. It sounds like an innovative way of doing it, but it does. Yeah, it does sound like it could be problematic. But I'm very curious.
Yeah, I think if we just figure out the right app, you know, something simple like that, we could probably do it well. But as it stands, it didn't happen that way.
Damn. Well, you know what, though? You never know.
But it's no big deal.
Huh? Well, oh, sorry. What was that?
Yeah. It ended up being fine because we got a lot of cool promo shots. It was the first time the actor was in the full suit.
Ooh.
And so we noticed a couple things together that we were like, okay, this is a little weird. Let's adjust this, you know, like we're not sure we like the guns being under the arms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his arms seemed a little blank to us, so we're gonna fiddle around with some ideas, adding some elbow pads or something like that.
Okay. I mean, that, I saw pictures, the pictures that I saw that you guys posted on there of him in the bat suit. Beautiful, might I add.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's gorgeous. And
thanks, man.
Of course. Now, you helped design and build these?
I completely designed and built them.
Oh, shit. Powered. Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Huh?
That is beautifully amazing, to say the least here. It's pure craftsmanship, man. How though? Like, what was kind of the steps of making these suits?
So, the first thing was getting the design right. And, like, the Batman suit alone went through four different versions. least, and even then, like, times, and hated all but, like, two of them. And the only thing that got me to a design I kind of like now is actually the Ezra Miller Flash.
Really?
One of the upgraded suits. Yeah, well, because of the way it's layered and because of a lot of the way it's it moves. And that was really important for our actor and to myself because, like, our Deathstroke actor, he's an incredible martial artist, and we wanted to make sure that if Batman's fighting someone, even if they're, you know, more trained, he wants to make sure that he can move accurately and, you know, not be, you know, not do the Val Kilmer shoulder turn. Like, mobility was really important to us.
Well, yeah, it looks good when he can move, you know. I do love Keaton,
yeah,
but seeing him have to turn his full body instead of being able to turn his head, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, he owns it. You know, yeah. There's no question that he will whoop your ass if you give him shit about it. But, I didn't want that to be the case with our version of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But with Deadshot, it was a lot of these characters have some references in the Flashpoint universe, like Deathstroke. He's got some references, and I think we've pulled some of them together while maintaining a younger version, because this is taking place in, like, the 90s. It's 5 years after Bruce's death.
Oh, damn, okay.
And, you know, Groove yet. Not everyone's exactly who... still a relatively young mercenary.
Mm.
You know, like, he's 40, he has slightly enhanced abilities. Background, I think it adds a little bit of power, but you know, so he looks younger still, despite being, like, or even 60. Like, it's, you know, we can play around. I don't think he'll be 60, but, like, we can play around with it.
Yeah.
And we've got those extra abilities.
Oh, yeah. That's the power of it. You can do whatever you want. That's why it's so great, is that you can really, but you gotta keep it, you can do whatever you want, but you do have to keep it where relatively that it makes sense. And yeah, Deathstroke is one you can definitely work with that and do, and play with him a little bit, because I don't think they ever explored him too much in Flashpoint, in the books. I know in the movie, not at all. He, like, he had one or two scenes, he got murdered. But in the books, I don't think so. What was it?
Sorry, my computer cut out for a second, so I couldn't hear that last part.
Oh, you're good. I was saying, like, Deathstroke, you don't really... he's one that you can definitely play with, because in the movie, he got killed right away. And then in the books, I don't remember... was he ever that much in the books?
Oh, yeah, no, he had his own series, Deathstroke the Turn. And, like, he just recently, he got the Speed Force. Yeah, no, he's a good guy now, actually.
Well, no, in the, like, Flashpoint books,
he's got a pretty rich history. Oh, no, in the Flashpoint books, yeah, great.
Yeah, I was like, well, no, it's okay. It's fine. As I was saying, so we can just continue right back into it for editing. So I was saying, like, with Deathstroke, he never really was in the comics too much of Flashpoint, really.
Well, he has this one particular issue where he's looking for Rose, but really, that's it. Like, he becomes a pirate, and he's got a couple people on his crew that I think he could actually probably introduce in Season 3 because there's going to be a particular character from the Zero Year comic that's going to make an appearance, and he's going to be our major villain. Ooh. But I don't want to spoil anything until at least we got some of Season 2 out.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think a lot of fans are really going to like it. But Deathstroke makes an appearance, and I think he's just hunting down his daughter. I can't remember, it was a little bit ago. And then in the animated movie, he shows up for a little bit and fights Aquaman and the Atlanteans. But I think that's really it for that universe. So, you know, we got a lot of a room to play around with. And the actor, his Donald Ray Simon, he is an incredible actor. And he was the only one who auditioned for the role, actually.
Really?
Which was super weird to me.
Really?
Like, yeah, Deathstroke's such a huge, awesome, badass character.
Yeah.
Like, and no one cared.
Wow. I mean, like, especially with Arrow, especially with Teen Titans, and everything like that. And his recent comeback in comics, like, it's kind of...
And I'm not saying, like, we're a huge production company or anything, but, like, I would think one person would be like, hey, I want to maybe be Deathstroke.
Yeah, like, it's crazy because that just bewilders me because I put out right now we got our little on the Comic Chronicle podcast we have our little mini thing called the Arkham Diaries where I played Dr. Jason Spizak, aka Mothman, in Arkham Asylum interviewing the villains, like a little patient interviews like 3 minutes long. And I asked people, hey, would you like to come? Anybody who would want to come on play a villain? I got like 15 people. That odd, like, in one day. And so they hear, and one of them was Deathstroke. And I'm like, well, I can maybe make that work. But,
yeah.
Seeing that, like, why that, well, just that bewilders me that no one would want to play a live action Deathstroke.
Yeah, and like, so, our actor is, half green and half black. And, you know, it was, we've actually got some backlash about it already.
Really?
And, yeah, no, like, he posted it on his personal Instagram, and I'm not going to throw the dude under the bus, but, yeah, he was given Ray some shit about being Deathstroke, and, you know, because he's black. He's like, he doesn't even look like the actor, and, like, Ray looks pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Like, he grew the facial hair pretty much instantly, but, you know, I jumped in on there, and I was like, hey, you know, it really doesn't matter. Race really doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Or to the character.
Yeah, you know, we live in... Oh, we could go off on a tangent on that crap. We really could. But we're going to keep it nice and positive on the Fancore podcast, because it's just one of those of folks, don't be an asshole. Really.
Yeah.
That's really it. Like, you know, wow. Bewilders me sometimes. But that's amazing that you're bringing Deathstroke on. You have a full plate of characters coming in. Like, you're really bringing in everybody in for this.
Yeah, well, because a lot of, like, I'll watch The Flash or Arrow on the CW, and, like, there are some times where they bring in a character, and I'm like, yeah, okay, it's cool to see you. And then there are other times where they bring in just, you know, a random person, and it's, like, you could have totally connected the world a little bit more. Like, Arrow a billion damn times has mentioned Cord Industries.
Yeah, or Bloodhaven.
Yeah, and not once has Ted Kord ever appeared, or even Jaime Reyes. Like, you know, any of those guys could have shown up, and it would have added a little bit to the world.
Yeah, it's true. And apparently, I talked to the other week, actually, was Andy Poon. He's the concept designer, so he helps design the costumes and whatnot for The Flash and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow and stuff like that. Awesome dude. An awesome episode. Folks, all check it out. But he told me that when he designed one of his favorite suits was the Atom suit. He's like, well, at the beginning, where they were going to put Ted Kord in there, but then there was that thing of Booster Gold and Ted Kord movie and whatnot, so they dropped it and then did the Atom, but then the Booster Gold movie didn't work out. So then they were like, well, fuck. And so they had to keep moving. They moved forward with it. So he was almost in there.
You know, that you saying that makes a lot of sense. And I think it would have actually made more sense than doing the Atom. Not that I don't love Brandon Routh as Atom. He's doing an incredible job. Yeah. But, like, you know, it would have made sense. Because he could play Ted Kord easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blue Beetle? Oh, God, yeah. But you never know.
It was real hard to, I mean, it wasn't super hard to come up with some of the designs, like Black Canary, we're keeping it real simple.
Fishnets?
Deadshot. What?
I was just saying, like, keeping it real simple, Black Canary, I'm like, fishnets?
Oh, yeah, no, she's getting them. Woo! Yeah, we're doing some of the comic look where she's got this blue underlay, under her fishnets, you know, and it gives you that comic look, and everyone else in their suits, except for Black Canary and the Atom, are pretty much all black.
Okay.
And then, like, the bad guys have color. So we wanted to have some people in there that are a little different. You can tell by looking at them that they're not Batman, you know?
Yeah, well, it's darker. It's a darker universe. Like, the heroes are not the heroes that you know, and so I really dig that. So it's like, yeah, this world is darker. Like, it's mostly villains here. It's like, it's gone to hell. It's not what you think it is. I mean, it's Flashpoint.
Oh yeah,
it's Flashpoint. Like, Flashpoint's not happening.
One of the earlier drafts of the original script, because of some of the things that Scarecrow does in the series,
we were thinking that Batman would just cut him open and flay him into the symbol of a bat on a billboard somewhere. But like, no, that's maybe a little too far. Like vampire Batman, sure, but
yeah,
not this one.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he'll do something similar, but wouldn't do that. Like, Thomas Wayne,
yeah, like,
it's weird. You could do a lot with Thomas, but you can't do the crazy things. While it's fun, it'd be interesting, you can't do the crazy things. Because then the comic fans get pissed, and then that's you don't want that.
Yeah, and, like, we're still able to do a lot of fun things. Like, we're able to do the addiction storyline with the Hour Man pill. You know, because that's a big part of the pill. It, you know, it's super strength has a cost here.
Yeah.
And the, you know, there's plenty of room to do all sorts of fun stuff without needing to make him be, you know, the devil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's so many characters you guys are bringing in that it's just going to fuel the story even more, which I think is beautiful. And they all look crazy good. That's what I don't, it's what it be, it just doesn't, I don't want to see bewilders. But it just astounds me of all this work you guys put in to this fan series and being able to do all this. Like, the scene, all of it, it's beautiful. It really is because it's well done already. And it's not even, you guys don't just started filming too. And I'm already like, I'm 100% on board.
Well, I really appreciate that. We've been working on this series for 3 years.
Holy hell.
Or 4 years now.
Wow.
So what, and, the cinematographer, my friend and I, or former friend and I, we're working on the draft, and then we got a cast together, and I don't want to get too far off track, but my Deadshot actor, by the way, he came in, he was the only person who read for the role, and I didn't have him written in there, but after meeting this actor, who's become a good friend of mine now, I wrote the role in, but like it was really organic when it first started, and we kind of just were like, okay, this person can work in here, this person can work in here, and like we didn't have a major plan.
Mm-hmm.
But after 3 years, you know, we came up with a lot of the ideas because we would write things, we'd talk to our actors, and we realized it wouldn't make sense. And then my girlfriend and I moved to California, and we started it up there for a little bit, but it proved hard. Because she was an hour north in LA, mm-hmm. and I was an hour south, and so like we weren't able to film as much as we wanted to, but we were writing a lot, and she was being taught by a bunch of awesome people. Like one of them was Thomas O'Leary, played the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway for like 10 years, but. You know, the more we learned about stuff and the more things we interacted with, the more we were able to kind of whittle down the story to what it really needed to be rather than just fan service for the sake of fan service.
Yeah, make it into something organic, make it into something that is a story that you want to follow, the story that you want to be able to see and be like, this is comics brought to life. And so much so that with that many years on it, people are going to watch it and be like, is this an official DC thing or what? Like, what's going on here? Because it's crazy. That's 3 years. Like, I respect that entirely as a writer myself. I respect that so much because there's stories I've been sitting on. It was actually, believe it or not, I almost had in Phoenix over here, we almost had their own DC fan film based on it. Was going to be a series, but then turned into a film for Metropolis Police going against like superhero gangs, the superpowered gangs. Including Metallo, Parasite, and all that fun stuff.
And, like, Inner Gang and all those guys?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And so it was, like, one or two heroes may show up, but it's, like, almost if you take Gotham and replace it with Metropolis PD and the heroes all around, but they're busy and stuff like that. So, obviously, there's going to be stories in there where Metropolis PD has to go against superpowered people. How the hell do they do that, and what's it like? We almost had that live-action movie go. A couple bad things happened.
Yeah.
Fell through, sadly, but I've been sitting on that script for, like, 3 years now? It's insane. And so
I think that'd be really good to do because a lot of the times, like, Lex Luthor is the one who brings in, you know, advanced body armor.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can deal with a lot of things like, should we even be wearing this if used this terrible way over here? Or, you know, you can you you can do a lot of things with that.
That was actually included in there, too. Actually, we're going to have a Lex Luthor cameo, I believe, at first. And then we're going to also have, like, not cameo, but, like, mentioned, name drop and stuff like that of, like,
yeah.
It's Luthor tech. It's LexCorp tech. Do we use it? Do we not? And then Bruce Wayne shows up giving him tech, too. Because it's, like, it's a huge thing going on. Metallo Parasite and a whole bunch of other superpowered people tearing apart Metropolis. And they need to go in and take them out. So it's one of those of like, how the hell are you going to go against those two foes with other superpowered people, including Livewire and stuff like that, who are going out killing people, and Justice League is all busy? That was our story.
Yeah, and I think it sounds like a real interesting series, like, because you got Gotham, and they've done some stuff here and there that was, like, really cool, and then other stuff that was kind of weird, like Barbara Keane still being around.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I think Metropolis Police Department, during the time that these heroes are there, it's always really compelling to get the human side of these characters, because all of them are so big.
Yeah.
Like, even Batman is just, you know, a dude. There's not a single person in the United States of America in that universe who doesn't know Batman's a thing and will beat the shit out of almost anyone.
It's so true. And Metropolis is the city where we're going way off tangent, but screw it. But is the city where, like, there's alien invasions. You got magic. You got all this crazy stuff that happens there. And so, like, how the hell are you going to be a regular police officer, SWAT team member, and be like, oh, what's happening? We have a Kryptonian invasion today. Well, shit.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, you could play it up. You could play it up like a kind of like a mix between Law and Order SVU, or, okay, it's just my favorite version of the series, but, you know, that mixed with, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh.
Because if you stick in that game, you gotta have at least a little bit of a sense of humor about it.
That's true. And there was a tie-in to Gotham we had in there, too. And I'll send you the script. If you ever want to make it into reality, full permission, go right ahead. Because the tie into Gotham was that Joker was making, like, antidepressant pills and stuff like that. And, like, the captain of the Metropolis PD actually takes them without anybody ever knowing. Like, gets them from her Gotham PD, like, little friend. So she takes, like, Joker pills and shit like that all the time. Makes her a little bit more happier. And so, because, like, she's depressed. And it's, like, there's tie-ins like that. And we had all this crazy shit going in. So if you ever want to make it, let me know, and I'll send you the script.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about it. It sounds like fun. And I think, again, it'll open a lot of different, like, I like the floor level stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Seeing, like, what Rogue One did with the Star Wars universe, I think.
100%.
Yeah, because we saw the war with the Empire on such a big scale throughout the other movies, and it was like, you know, only the highest up dudes fighting, you know, Luke and then Darth Vader and the Emperor.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you see the ground. But then
we saw tiny level stuff, and then how the galaxy sees Vader and all that stuff, and I think it'd be great to do that with Metropolis.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's, oh man, I really wish we had that thing made into reality, but, you know, things happen. It is film business, but
yeah.
That is, it's one of those of, it's really good to see that ground level of things, and that's why I think Flashpoint Gotham is going to do so well, is because it's Gotham, and you're able to get nitty gritty and dirty and have people somewhat with power, I don't think Wellesley technically. I don't know. Do you have any metas in this series that you can talk about? Canary. I mean, maybe. Or is she meta or just tech?
Canary's definitely going to be a meta, but it's only going to be, you know, it's going to be the voice.
Yeah.
But she's a super talented fighter, like always.
Okay.
And then we've got like the Hourman thing with Batman, but other than that, I don't think we have any metas. Like we'll have references to characters like Cyborg or, you know, Aquaman and Wonder Woman, because we may have their affair last, you know, I don't know, 5 years. It could be a while. We didn't really get a timeline when Flash had those, you know, memory wipes.
Yeah, that's true.
Could have been going on.
That is, that, yeah. That's why I'm loving it, man. Yeah. So, I mean, that's cool, though, that you do get, like, that's going to definitely attract an audience of the street level heroes sort of thing, because there is a wide, I love both.
Yeah.
It's still, that's a really big audience right now, especially in this climate of everything, of people who love the street level heroes. They're like getting nitty and gritty, and especially with Flashpoint Gotham, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
You're going to get adult, and you're going to get all this crazy good DC stories.
And we have so many different characters, and, like, a lot of them are just because we wanted to put people in there. Like, we knew who we wanted almost instantly. Like, we knew we wanted to do something with Commissioner Loeb, and then characters like Scarecrow and Hugo Strange and Black Mask. And we were even fiddling with a version of, you know, the... Have you read any Zero Year?
I have. Isn't that the one where Riddler takes over?
Yeah, but before that, with the Red Hood gang.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, that, yes.
We're thinking of fiddling around with that a little bit in season 3.
Okay.
That, and, we were looking at the War of Jokes and Riddles. But those are the only hints I'm gonna give, because I think the reveal, because there's gonna be a cameo of the main villain in season 1.
Oh, shit.
For season 3 villain is gonna have a cameo in season 1.
Ooh, I dig that. Give us a taste. Not the full thing, just a little sliver. Ooh, love it.
Oh, yeah, and it's gonna be played off in such a way, or I'm gonna try to, that you may not even realize that it's them. You know, it's gonna be something that, like, seeing everything else you're seeing in this sequence, it could be anyone. Or it could be one particular person, or...
Alright, now you're just teasing. Now it's just like, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, what the hell can it be? And it, okay. Alright. Yeah. Now, man, I'm curious, because people are probably wondering, where the hell can we find it? Where can we be? When and where do you think we'll be able to find Flashpoint Gotham?
Okay, so right now, the only place it really is on Facebook. And the picture you'll see is the our Batman mask, and the cover photos, Batman and Falcone, you know, getting friendly. So after that, we're gonna do some refilming, but honestly, we're gonna shoot a couple of things, like the death of Bruce coming up here soon.
Oh God.
And we're gonna try to. Oh man. When I finish up this bit about when and where, I gotta tell you the story about the first time we shot that scene.
Oh. But, God. Yeah. Continue.
So we're gonna be shooting as much as we can during the month of November. All of our actors are super excited. And our Deathstroke actor, he's also one of our cinematographers, and he went to Korea recently. And he came back the first day of our filming from that flight and went straight to filming. He's the Captain America of this series.
Oh, my God. That's Slade Wilson there. That's some Slade Wilson strength, man. That's really what it is. He noobs in the part. He's like, let's do this.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so we want to try to have a trailer. And if we're really lucky, or a trailer by the end of this month.
Oh, shit.
And then maybe a couple... November, this coming month.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a couple episodes by the end of the year.
That's fast. That's really fast.
8 episodes, and I'm thinking episode 8 is probably going to, or episode 7 is probably going to be the hardest to shoot, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so just keep an eye out on that. Look out for it on the Facebook. There's also Super Criminal Productions. That's going to have a lot of references to it. And that's kind of a production group I'm trying to start up as a function of all the things that I make with, you know, all of these different actors.
Not bad. That's a good name. Yeah, that's a good place. I mean, Facebook, so folks, make sure you tune into Facebook, Flashpoint Gotham. Give them a like so you can stay tuned for everything. Now, it's going to get depressing, because what is the story with the death of Bruce Wayne you got to tell? Oh, no.
Okay. All right. So the first time we were shooting, this is the first time we had the production group together. We've gone through 4 different Batmen, and the one we have now is our 4th. But the second one is the one we actually got to shoot things with, and we get out there. He brings his son to be Bruce because there was really only one shot with Bruce at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt real bad because we didn't bring him any, like, cocoa or anything. And we were out there, and it was 11 at night, and it was cold as hell. But it was the first time any of us had really interacted, or any of them had interacted in character. And my girlfriend, who's playing the Joker, Draven Cooper, she, the first time we went out and shot that was the first time I had heard her Joker laugh. And it was, like, it was already really cold, but it was chilling, man. Like, it was pretty damn creepy.
Ooh. That's, for folks who don't know, I mean, that scene in there, give it a Google of the scene where Bruce dies and Martha becomes the Joker. Like, it's, that's got to, and especially to see it come to life like that in person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And now we've, because I want to make it something that, like, if DC was in a particularly giving mood one day, and they're like, yeah, this could be canon, you know,
oh, God, that's...
look at it and feel like it is, because we're shooting pretty close. We're doing our own thing with it, but some of the angles.
He's so bad.
We're getting the same angles for the death of Bruce and a couple other scenes.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, so we're sticking pretty close. We see Bruce get hit. We see Martha, you know, have her hand with the blood on her face, and it's gonna be real dark, but it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Man, that sounds it. Because that, I can't explain in words about that scene. And that scene alone, like, that's going to be nuts. Because I trust her. I trust her a lot with the acting of it, too. Because that's a big thing to take on, too. And, wow. Just wow.
Oh, yeah. She, like I said, she went to school with a lot of big names. Or, you know, with a couple big names. And she's done a lot of training. And she's, just the dedication she has when she does Harley is crazy. Yeah. Like, we were hanging out with Lauren Lester at a con one time, and he called the woman who plays Ivy to play a little bit of the
Diane
girl's voice.
Diane Pershing.
Diane Pershing, the woman who plays Poison Ivy in the animated series. You know, and Robin called her up, and they listened to her voice, and they were really impressed. So she's going to be, Draven is also writing her own series coming out soon, but she's a little torn on whether or not she wants to do her Harley or another character, because she's just, you know, she's, her Harley's as close to perfect as I can think of.
I mean, there's no other, what other persons, there's only like one or two other people that could give like a better review that I would actually listen to. I think those people are pretty good, know their shit when it comes to being given a good review on a Harley, to say the least.
Oh yeah, Lauren Lester, and like, the only other person whose opinion I would have taken slightly more seriously is, like, Kevin Conroy's or Bruce Timm's. Like,
or Tara Strong's. I would take that one.
What'd you say?
Tara Strong. I would take Tara, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She, oh, I mean, obviously, but I mean, like, you know, outside of the person who voices her already. Because then, you know, it's encroaching on their territory.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, I don't want you to take my job.
Yeah, like if there was someone who did an incredible Kevin Conroy, you know, Kevin Conroy would probably be impressed. But
yeah,
there'd be like, you trying to steal my job, son?
Yeah, that's true. Just, definitely, he'd be like, you steal my job. If you can do a Kevin Conroy impression, let us know in the comment section on this, on the podcast, because I definitely want to hear this, because I've never in my life heard anybody give a good impression. So I want to know if that's out there. That's a mission to listeners.
Okay, well, I'll have to respond to this video then, because I've been practicing one for a little while, actually.
Is it going to be anonymous? Anonymous. Here is my Kevin and Connor. I'm like, that's not like Gavin. Is it Gavin? No. Oh, God.
Oh, no, you won't know. I'll drop it somewhere in your house, you know, just like Batman would.
In my house, it's a Batman sealed envelope. You know what?
Yep.
If you can get away with that, 100% power to you. 100%. 100%. Although, there is one guy I know that he would definitely give a good, he'd give an honest opinion on it, is my buddy Wally Wingert, who plays the Riddler in the Batman Arkham video games and also the animated Batman 66 cartoons. He's worked.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's worked heavy with me on FanCorp stuff before. especially my own indie film. And he's been on the podcast. He's been on the comic show once and on the film show once. And we keep in touch every now and then. And he runs his Batman 66 Museum. And he would definitely give us an honest review about if your Kevin Conroy was on point or not.
I think that'd actually be a good show. You could bring him on and do a little segment about that.
That's true. But he'll be honest with you and be like, you suck.
I think it'd be something that, like, the people record it beforehand and send it in, not people call up
Do it. And he loves doing voiceover stuff, so he'd definitely be down for that. Huh.
Yeah.
Wally, if you're listening. Yeah, no, he's a cool guy. And so, yeah, that's definitely... So if you ever want the legit Riddler voice, other than... I mean, he's done Riddler for so much shit anymore. It's insanity. But, yeah, so he'll definitely... Yeah. If you go to his Twitter page and contact him, maybe he could help out with Flashpoint Gotham.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, like, just give him a shout out. He loves helping indie filmmakers.
Yeah, I guess I can tell some people. Martha does have a version of her Joker gas at some point in the series, and we reached out to a couple people. We reached out to Mark Hamill and a couple other people, you know, being like, hey, if you guys would just bloody up your face a little bit and do a wacky smile, that would be incredible, and we'll put you in the... I mean, obviously, they've got much bigger things to do than this, but, you know, we thought it'd be really cool.
Hey, you know what? Like, Wally would probably do it. I'll send you some info, or you can give him a Google and tell him Dakota sent you from FanCorp, and, maybe you get something, maybe you don't know, depending upon Wally.
Yeah, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Amen to that, man. It's crazy, but I want to say thank you. We're going a little bit longer this time than I thought we would, but I just want to say, man, thank you for coming on and talking about Flashpoint Gotham.
Thanks for having me. It was real exciting to do.
Of course. And before we go, I do want to give the listeners a little bit of a hint that this is not the end of Gavin, folks. He's coming back to Comic Chronicle. Well, the Fan Corp, I'll say, is that. We'll leave it even more conspicuous. Yeah, he's coming back, but in not the way you think. And we'll leave it as that, because I don't want to give people too much.
Yeah. I'm excited to be coming back, and there'll be a couple hints coming soon.
Yes. Oh, very soon. Very, very soon, folks. Now, Gavin, do you have any social media that you would like to, other than Flashpoint Gotham on Facebook? Make sure you guys like that. Is there any social media for yourself you'd like to put out there or anything else?
I've got Super Suits on Facebook. That's my personal costume page. I used to do a lot of commissions, but I'll be honest, I get happen. So, but now it's just a personal cosplay page. And Super Suits also on Instagram.
Suits on Instagram. So folks, make sure you go follow that. Now, I mean, you can say not a good businessman, but I've seen your work. I would pay for it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. And it's honest opinion, too. All this honest opinion, no blown smoke or anything like that. Because, folks, go check out his work. Go check out Super Suits. Go check out Flashpoint Gotham on Facebook. You will not be disappointed. He'll be like, hire this guy for the CW. Which you never know.
I've got a couple ideas for a couple things, like their Flash suit.
Yeah, because you know what? I've even... We mentioned Andy earlier. When he was on, he mentioned the new suit, by the way. And he kind of gave a dislike to it. And that should tell you something really good. Really, really. That should really tell you something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, I had a couple ideas for my own sort of Reverse Flash series. But it's mostly following his specific perspective. And it's more comic related than it is CW related. And it's kind of a mesh of armor, but yeah, with the CW suit, like they gave us as close to New 52 as we were going to get in that series, and then they yanked it away.
Yeah,
and we had it for like 6 episodes.
Yeah, I like it because it's more of a legit Flash costume than, I don't know. Yeah, we could go off on that. We really could. Like it's like that's well, another thanks hour.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, it's been an honor, Gavin. It really has, and. Now, folks, I want you all to make sure you follow Gavin and all his work on Instagram and such. Make sure you follow at Real Fancorp on Twitter and Instagram, Fancorp Network on Facebook, and also on YouTube. We have some fun stuff coming up for you folks. And make sure you stay tuned for Flashpoint Gotham, because it's going to be a blast. And Gavin, before we go, let's you know, on Season 3, I want it on record, in Season 3, or for Forever Evil, you got yourself a guy who definitely would fly up to Washington for whatever you need, and definitely 100% would be down to play a character. I'll bring all my acting skills possible.
that would be incredible. I'd love to talk to you about that. Sweet. We will get something done.
Sweetness. Alrighty, so we're going to close it out, folks. So, I've been your host, Dakota Morgan, with my special guest.
More.
Sweet. And, folks, one final words. Stay classy, Gotham City.